Thank you so much, Joan, for that wonderful introduction, and thank you for the series, and thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, Dawn, okay? You know, I just, one thing that I am beginning to realize when I go out to the West Coast or to New York to read is that now that I can call Pittsburgh my home, it comes with me everywhere I go. And it's a fabulous thing, it's a fabulous protector, but also we're known. I mean, just at Beyond Baroque, at this reading, which was great, that I did for Poets and Writers, Richard Modiano, who's the director, says to me, "You know Jimmy Svedek? You know Joan Bauer? Jan Beatty read here last summer." So I'm thinking that what we need is a snowbird reading series, or at least a reading, maybe, okay, when it's really, you know, difficult weather here. I know there are a few of us that would love to sign on to come out and read with you guys out there, Joan. So I am still kind of in the West Coast frame of mind, and I also wanted to read some poems that I haven't read before out of the book. And I'm going to, my first poem, I'm going to read for Tess, because Tess has asked me to read this poem again and again, and this is the first time I've ever read this poem in public. So, you know, when you grow up different, turns out that you're gay, queer, whatever other 61 versions of that that we want to identify with, you know, you kind of wonder, well, where'd that gene come from? And my dad, whom I've read, you know, I've read the poem about my mother quite a bit, but my dad I've never really read about before. And my dad died when I was 8. And it was tragic. And he was a great guy. But let's face it, I really didn't know him. And what I do know of him now is pretty idealized. So I kept thinking, like, maybe it came from my dad. My gay dad buys corsages and boutonnieres on holidays, first-class tickets to exotic locations, imported lingerie, designer dresses for his wife, drum sets and electric trains, even a pony for the kids. He wears bespoke suits, drives a Jaguar Mark VII, can't stop renovating the house. When mom's favorite hand lotion goes out of business, he buys the company and makes it himself. As Santa, we leave him a fifth of Chivas and a pack of Benson and Hedges on the custom coffee table, unwrapped toys, books and records, artfully arranged. He transforms the living room into a department store. The year I am 6, Santa brings me the Broadway soundtrack to Cole Porter's Anything Goes. I play it over and over, singing along, now heaven knows. So my dad makes an appearance in this next poem too. In my old west, there are quail, each day a line or two of them, marching under their top knots beneath the eucalyptus, and vultures, buzzards, we call them, sweeping overhead. Some poor animal's dead in the field, my mother says, then calls me in from the yard where I am crouched on the blacktop, watching the quick beat of a lizard's heart. My brother strings my life-size Davy Crockett doll up on a eucalyptus branch, breaks its neck, the hard plastic face smashed in. Under the peeling trees, I dig a pool in the sand, get the hose, fill it with water, run inside, pull on my bathing suit, rush back. The pool is gone. My father has the eucalyptus felled. They're too messy, roots too shallow. They might collapse on the house. He rolls a green lawn over the sand. The field next door becomes a big house with a big gate. The lines of quail march into fog. Crows come, first to the olive tree, then to the walnut, sleek black flapping, cawing into the day. So this next poem is a favorite of mine, and I feel it's kind of an ars poetica, and it's also I write a lot about identity in this book, and those of you who have read it know there are a lot of costume changes. So this one's for Kayla because I think Kayla likes to dress up as much as I do, or maybe even more. Under western skies, each morning I wake into the gold rush, pull on my checked flannel shirt, my chinos with suspenders, copper-toed boots minus the laces, my lucky bandana around my neck. I take the pickaxe down from the wall, head for the hills. Oh, I know exactly where to go today where there's gold. I stop to drink from my sweating canteen, look up, squint. Someone's already working my claim, calmly, methodically. She smiles, waves her lucky bandana, pretends to mop the glow from her brow, the heat of all that gold beating down, and I'm caught standing in the pitch of the peak, unearthed in the shadow of its reflection. Cloud, the light it shrouds, the fortune herein. So, this poem is actually, I think, a poem that comes out of my love for the conceptual artist John Baldessari, and he early on did this really wonderful black and white series that he shot in the town that he grew up in, National City, California. Dream of Cali. A shaggy Baldessari is showing me his lousy shots of National City, California. He tells me the spectator is compelled to look directly down the road and into the middle of the picture. I'm smack in the picture. First the blue, blank and flat, rolling out over the yuccas and sparkle plenty rooftops. The blacktop melting down the hill, away from my trashed van slip-ons, to the Cayumacas, to Gonsville. I feel no border between the landscape out there, the landscape in here. Arteries of decomposed granite rooting me forever to this conceptual landfill. Making room for my little failures, even in broad daylight. All the flagstone-faced houses, red-jacketed valets, reparking Ferraris, first in one driveway, then another. You know, when you go to a party, and sometimes you can go to a party in L.A., and you can't tell, if you leave the party and you come back, you can't tell which house you're going to, because there are all these, like, valets, right? And all the houses look the same, sometimes. Albino nights. In the city of angels, the sun never sets. Instead, there's Sunset Boulevard, strip of liquored up incandescence, permanently switched on, its half haze hovering the basin, preempting the stars over Cielo Drive. It's impossible to sleep here, not impossible to dream. So you do. Next thing you know, you're exiting the 10 at La Cienega, heading for the hills. Some guy in a wife beater and flip-flops, plastic bag of oranges in one hand, maps to the dead and dying in the other, stands on the corner, the same frame in the same B-movie you walked out on years ago. You drive and drive the florid landscape. Finally, pull up to a shady bungalow on the Hollywood Flats. The door opens. The lights don't switch on. No matter. The street lamp's metal halide oozes in. You find a tiny bedroom at the back of the house, bed snugged up to an open window, lie down, inhale the ether of the sweet night jasmine. You feel like Dee, the Mary Louise Parker character in Grand Canyon, masturbating amid the white funnels and whirring sounds of copters. The butch neighbor girl pulls up in her 4x4, slams a screen door inches from your head. "You're dead to me," her disembodied voice announces. "Dead to me." Thank you. That's a true story. The dead to me part is a true story. Anyway. Sometimes the houses are very close together in L.A. Okay. So I'm going to end with a poem that takes us back to the other coast. And a real North Star for me in my poetry is Frank O'Hara. And I guess maybe, I don't know, can you have two North Stars? Because Frank O'Hara was really introduced to me by Jan Beatty. And oddly enough, like when this all happened, I was living like next door to Frank because he's buried in a cemetery in the town in Springs where I lived, Green River Cemetery, which is quite a famous resting place for all these mid-century literati and art figures. Pollock is buried there, Lee Krasner is buried there, among others. So, and Frank really started it all. I mean, once Frank was buried there, everybody wanted to go. So this is a poem for Jan, and it uses some, it involves some words from Frank's poems, A Pleasant Thought from Whitehead and Autobiographia Literaria. From Green River Cemetery. The late summer light still bright enough to read the epitaph on your headstone, and I am feeling curious. I slip a lone question into the bluebird's beak, and he is off. How did you know this graveyard is where the party would carry on? To the others gathered in your company, to Pollock, to Krasner, to Kooning, to Klein, Ernst, to Gelsauer, to Patsy Southgate et al. Grace to be born and live as variously as possible. Over your silver shoulder, the improving stars continue to devour your poems. Flash them onward. And here you are again, the center of all these beautiful people, you and the bluebird's question, still imagine. Yeah. Thanks.